In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. I don't know about you, but for me, the situation of battling traffic can be one of my personal frustration points. It can test my Christianity, so to speak. For example, when you have to merge, where there's a lane that's closing ahead of you, and you need to merge, and the person that's next to you, that you need to merge into that lane, they act as though the space is their personal space, and you're stealing something from them simply because you need to merge. And yet, I have caught myself on more than a few occasions being frustrated when the situation is the exact opposite, and I'm that person, and somebody needs to merge in front of me, and I find myself frustrated that this person needs to merge. And I, at times, catch myself in that, and I remind myself of the double standard that I'm living by, and I reluctantly allow them to merge and remind myself how I would want to be treated in that situation. That's what the gospel text is addressing, is that very kind of situation and so many hundreds and thousands of situations like it. Maybe you didn't realize that the gospel text addressed such modern issues as traffic and so forth, but the wisdom of Christ's teaching certainly applies to modern situations as well. Because essentially, Christ's teaching addresses the condition of the human heart. Christ reminds us the nature of God. Christ reminds us to be godlike in our behavior. And Christ also reminds us how we can truly be selfish at times if we allow ourselves to be ruled by this. It is the human condition. Our egos are large and in charge. And we think that we deserve what is best, and we always deserve the best, and our basic tendency is to look out for ourselves. It's been like that for a very long time. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where mankind essentially lost the likeness of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, they still maintained the image of God in which they were created, but they lost the likeness of God in that exchange of sin. And at that point, became basically selfish, and all of mankind since that point has been basically selfish. But God did not change in that exchange. He remained the same. He is not selfish. He is far from selfishness. His love is unconditional. He loves because love is who he is. He doesn't love because he wants to get love in return. It simply is an act of who he is, an expression of who he is, to give unconditionally. So God loves, God gives, simply because he is indeed unselfish. God is kind to the ungrateful. God is kind to the selfish. God is merciful to the undeserving sinner. God is truly unselfish. And Christ is reminding us in the gospel text today how that issue of selfishness can rear its ugly head in unexpected places and times. He reminds us of the good things that we can do in life, and yet selfishness can be a thread that weaves itself through that experience. Yes, we can be capable of giving, and yet very often we give with ulterior motives attached. Yes, we're capable of doing good, but often we do good expecting good to be done back to us in return. We're capable of loving others, and yet we love with the hopes of being loved in return. And Christ calls us to a radical shift in our paradigm. He calls us to do all of that good stuff, but to dismiss those negative motivations, those selfish motivations that attach themselves to these things, to expect nothing ultimately in return. Do all of that good stuff the way that God does good stuff. Christ calls us to return to being godlike, to be unselfish. Every child that is born into this world and grows up in this world begins life in an egocentric manner. Everything is all about them all of the time. And as life begins, their circle of what they're concerned about is very small. And as they grow and they get older, the circle becomes wider and wider. They become concerned about other things. They want other things. They like other things. And if that is not checked in time, that growth of that circle of what they want, their needs, their wants, their desires, begins to impact other people, starts to rub against other people, starts to impact other people in a negative manner. And they have to learn that the reality is, if their selfishness is not checked, their selfishness begins to hurt the people that are around them. All of us have to learn this lesson. All of us have learned this lesson, at least on some level. But I think at times we haven't learned it fully. I think at times we still remain stuck in that position as a three-year-old, still expecting the world and seeing the world through three-year-old eyes and reacting kind of as a three-year-old. Because After all, at the end of the day, we can be so sensitive to our own issues, to our own concerns, to our own feelings. And yet at the same time, even as we're experiencing sensitivity over our issue, we can be stepping on the feelings of someone else that is right next to us and not even realize that, can be completely unaware. And when we have our feelings stepped on, we can have a three-year-old pouting session just like the best three-year-old that you see. We can have our own little tantrums that we go through because how could somebody treat me that way? Because we're sensitive to our feelings and they stepped on our feelings. But at the same time, again, are we oblivious to the people's feelings around us that we're stepping on? Perhaps even in doing that exchange of pouting, we're stepping on the feelings of someone that is around us. See, Christ calls us to grow up and leave the childlike behavior behind, to embrace maturity. He calls us back to our Heavenly Father. He calls us to be like our Heavenly Father, to not act like a selfish three-year-old, but to grow up and to treat, to take all of that self-awareness that we possess, that sensitivity to our own wants, to our own feelings, and to turn it outward, unselfishly, toward others. It provides us a sort of guide by which we can engage the world. See, we want to be loved. So let us take that desire to be loved and let us turn it towards other people. Let us act in a loving manner towards others, because if we want to be loved, other people want to be loved as well, right? So we take that essential desire that is there and we turn it outward. Instead of engaging it in a selfish manner, indulging ourselves, we seek to unselfishly give. So we act in a loving manner and we live and act in a way that makes someone else feel as though they are loved. We want good things to happen in our lives. We want these good things and we can't just sit on our chair waiting for good things to happen to us. You know, we have to take that opportunity and that desire and turn it outward. Why don't we get off our chair and why don't we go out and engage others in a way that brings good into their lives? You see, we take that basic desire and we turn it in an unselfish way towards others and direct our attention and our energy towards others. We turn that desire outward and we unselfishly do good for someone else. We like to receive gifts from other people. Well, take that thing that we like and let us direct it outwardly towards other people. Instead of looking to receive a gift, why don't we give one? We give expecting nothing in return. You see, the gospel itself is a demonstration of the unselfish love of God for us. We have all received God's gracious gifts in our lives. We are able to freely drink from the streams of grace. God's goodness is abundant and rich and fills our lives. And God has demonstrated these things, laying the proper foundation, a foundation of love and grace in our lives. And Christ calls us to build on that foundation, to not live life simply motivated by our selfishness, merely by our selfishness, but to recognize that we indeed have a higher calling. We can aspire to be godlike, to be like our Creator, to return to that image and likeness of God, and to become selfless, like God is selfless. We can be merciful, even as our Heavenly Father is merciful. We can love in a godlike manner, in an unconditional manner. We can graciously give in a godlike manner, expecting nothing in return. Though it may go against our natural inclination, we can indeed embrace Christ's call, and by grace we can learn to be unselfish. The manner in which we want to be treated, we can treat others in that manner. That is our guide. That is our standard. We can take all of our sensitivity towards our own feelings, our own wants, our own needs, and we can turn that outwardly towards other people. By so doing, we can live in a godlike manner. By so doing, we live as the children of God. And by so doing, we secure a great reward in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.